If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and pick up in Psalm 23. And those of you who were not with us last week, I apologize. We're going to pick up right where we left off in our study. There's a few handouts remaining from last week here in the building. If you did not get one, I'm sure we can. There may be some there in the foyer. We're on step number 2. And last time we were together, we looked at continuing with looking at the aspect of He restoreth my soul. Be alert for the comfortable spot, and we went through a few things there. And tonight we're going to look at number 2. Be alert for the weighty fleece, or be alert for the burden of the weighty fleece. So let's look at Psalm 23. I'll go ahead and read those first 3 verses again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That aspect there, be alert for the weighty of the burdensome fleece. And as we talked about last week, we're looking at some of the responsibilities of the shepherd, watching for those sheep that were cast, the responsibilities were being with them. Letter A there, notice that the weight is real. The weight is real. See, many times when the sheep's wools grow out, it also becomes matted with mud, burrs and other debris. And when this happens, the sheep can become dangerously weighed down. And like we talked about last week, it makes it easier for the animal to fall over or to become cast. And, of course, that applies to us, and we'll look at that in just a moment. There in our next passage of Scripture, Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As believers, we also need to be careful of the burdensome or the weight that we may allow to be upon us as believers. And as believers, it's all too easy for us to become weighed down with debris of this life, with the mud of the flesh, and with the attacks of Satan himself. I've learned through the years there are some things that I do not participate in as a pastor, not because I think that it's wrong, because for some strange reason the world thinks that a preacher shouldn't be doing that. You're not likely to see me in full black leather riding a Harley down the road. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I had motorcycles growing up. I rode motorcycles for years. I even at one point was looking at dirt bike racing. But now as a pastor, there's just some things I probably wouldn't do. Probably wouldn't be wise for me to roll around. Not that it's wrong, just for me. It probably wouldn't be good for me to drive around with a nice, bright, brand new red convertible with a top down. Nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, I might borrow one just so I can say I did, and it's not mine. I'm looking right at him and smiling. He's the only one I'd borrow from. But it's not there's anything wrong with it. But it's strange that the world looks at pastors and other people's certain positions as being different for them. So we need to be on guard. For example, for years and years, I would not go to the movie theater. I'm still real careful about it. I went one time when it was the only show showing, and it was a Disney production that I wouldn't go to today, but back then when old Walt was still alive or it was a little bit, things were better going on. But here's the problem. I went to see a movie, and when I left, they already changed the marquee for the next one. Because see, we're on a military base in a small community. They always showed the R-rated and the other ones later at night, and the matinee, they showed the others. But everyone that I witnessed to, everyone that I talked to, only saw me walking out. They didn't see me walking in. So I got an earful that week. Now, there was anything wrong with it? Well, you know, that may be your preference, and it may not be. So that was the last time that I went in that particular situation. So there's just some things for us as believers, maybe for me a higher bar as a pastor, but there's many other things that I think we need to be careful that doesn't put a weight on us because of what other people may think, or a weight on us because it could drag us down. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a good soldier. You know the old saying, be careful, little eyes what you see, little ears what you hear, but little feet where you go. We need to be cautious about the places we go, the things that we're involved with. Just like sheep, we can so easily become entangled with the things of this world that it can weigh us down. It can consume us of time. I think I've mentioned this before. I'm not saying it's a sin. It is for me. I don't play video games. I don't have one game on my phone because I start, 4 hours later, I'm still doing it. It's just, for me, it's a struggle. So I've just chosen to do it. I don't think I've played a video game in years since my girls have been home, and I only did it when they pleaded and begged me, and they always ended up laughing at me because I didn't know what I was doing. I only did it with them. But for me, it could have been a weight. So we all know what the weights in our life are, things that weigh us down, that keeps us from doing the better thing, the best thing, and we need to be careful of those things. Again, just like sheep, we can be entangled with the things of the world. And not only see that the weight is real, but the solution is really simple. The solution is simple. Yeah, we can get weighted down. Yes, it's important for a shepherd to take care of the sheep and make sure they're groomed because they can't do it themselves. But we have a responsibility to groom ourselves, to take care of ourselves, to guard our testimony. Sheep are incapable of doing anything about their fleeces. And if they are going to be kept from getting cast and at the weight of their wool, it is only going to happen because of the shepherd's intervention. They can't shave themselves. Sheep do not enjoy being sheared, and it's a lot of work for the shepherd, but it's work that must be done to preserve the life of the animal. And that's why it's so important for a pastor, for a mentor, for the Sunday school teacher, those working in any ministry and mentoring and discipling others, is saying sometimes the hard things to encourage, to challenge, and to help the new believer and the growing believer, to preserve the life of the animal, to preserve the strength and the growth of the new believer. See, the benefits of a good shearing far outweigh the struggle of the process. Notice that again. The benefits of a good shearing far outweigh the struggle of the process. Like my dad used to tell me when I was a boy, son, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. I never understood that till I was a parent. And it's the same thing with a shepherd. It is a struggle to make sure that sheep is cared for. And dear friends, I promise you, as a pastor, for me, for anyone, if you're mentoring someone, you're discipling someone, it can be a struggle and preparation and study and to be sure to know this is exactly what God would have me to do and I'm not getting in the flesh. I'm only human. I've got to keep myself in check. I'm grateful for some men in our church that I meet with weekly. Many of those that can come and are not providentially hindered, and my deacons, because I do talk to them. I do bounce ideas off of them. I've got a message I've worked on that I've preached before that I want to rework and represent in another way, but I haven't had peace about it yet, simply entitled, When God Says No. But I want to make sure I'm doing it the right time, for the right reason, in the right way. And we, when we're discipling and mentoring and encouraging others, we need to make sure of the same thing, because the shearing can be good, but it can also be a struggle. Sometimes the Lord will simply use His word to shear His sheep. That's why it's so important for us to get into the word. I don't know about you. I have read my Bible where I felt like, Michelle, go to the piano. We need a verse of invitation there in the house. It's good when conviction comes. It's good when we see it in the word, and often God will just simply use His word to shear His people, His believers, His people. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the hearts. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Yes, not only sometimes the Lord uses His word to do the shearing, but sometimes He must use firmer methods. Sometimes it's more than reading the scripture. Sometimes it's more than hearing a sermon or hearing a Bible study. Sometimes it goes beyond that. Here's the problem. When we don't respond to the Bible study, when we don't respond to the preaching, we don't respond to what God is trying to show us, that's when He has to get the big stick out. That's when it gets a little bit harder, a little bit firmer in His methods. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept Thy word. Notice that. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. That tells me the affliction came of the Lord because He went astray. Psalm 119 and verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Sometimes the Lord has to use other means to get our attention, to get our focus. And I think if we've lived long enough and been saved long enough, chances are there may be a time where you've gotten away from the Lord and it wasn't enough just for Scripture. It wasn't enough just for the preaching, that God may use something else to get your attention and to draw you in. Number three, be alert for the fat sheep. I had a hard time with this one, but I didn't know what other adjective to use. Be alert for the fat sheep. Again, in verse 3, but he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of his righteousness for his name's sake. See, fat sheep are not healthy. Fat sheep are not healthy. Overly grown sheep, large sheep, may look cute, but they are neither healthy nor are they productive. Their weight becomes an excessive burden on their hearts, and it keeps them from being agile and nimble and on their feet. And that combination makes them much more likely to become cast or a victim of a predator. And as with everything in the life of the sheep, it is only the shepherd that can provide the remedy, which he does. He nurtures them, cuts back on their feed, makes sure they have the right time to feed that they need, the ration, the water, and making sure they are getting a balance of exercise, plenty of water, and the proper food that they need. Sometimes it's because of an illness that makes it even more so difficult, but then again, that responsibility now to us. If we use that word, I almost change it to just P-H-A-T. Fat Christians are not healthy. And I want you to understand what I'm saying here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15 through 17. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert hot, cold nor hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, the believers of Laodicea thought they had it all together, but in reality, they were just fat. They were lazy. They were absorbing. They was enjoying an increase. They were more concerned about the things and gathering things than they were about the spiritual. Remember, for the Christian, material success, again, material success is not an indicator of spiritual success. In other words, that aspect of being overfull, fat with possessions, things, comfort. Again, nothing wrong with those things, but are they in perspective with the Lord? And it's certainly not an indicator by having those things of a spiritual health. In fact, there is a big danger that's still going around of a health and wealth gospel. Unless you are, if you're healthy and wealthy because you are spiritual. You're spiritual because you're healthy and wealthy. Well, that is not any place that I find in Scripture. They're nowhere at all. Some of the most godly men that I know are suffering with illness and disease. The Apostle Paul also suffered with things in the thorn of the flesh. But I'm referring to that aspect of we're being fat in the sense of enjoying the comforts and things of the world and of life where there's no balance in what we do for the things of the Lord and taking care of spiritual things. Instead, in reference again to this not being an indicator of spiritual health, instead it may be the very thing that is causing us to be cast down, to be self-centered, spiritually blind and wretched, with a wretched testimony for the Lord because of we're more concerned about things. Me first, collecting. Now, again, perspective. There's nothing wrong with having some comforts if you can afford it. There's nothing wrong with going beyond some things if you have the means. But at the same time, is it a one-way street? Where is the spiritual, where the Lord needs to make sure we're also spiritually fit? In other words, am I taking care of the flesh? Am I taking care of the wants? Am I taking care of those things more than I am my spiritual needs and my walk and in my testimony? See, God may have to put on us a strict diet by taking away some of the things that have so clogged our lives. And he may have to increase the level of spiritual exercise and experience to toughen us up spiritually. It may not feel good initially, but we can be assured that it will be good for us. I am so grateful through the years, and I know, and I've heard my father say, I've heard my pastor, who I still look to for advice and as a mentor, and others I've talked to. You're no matter what you do as a shepherd or as a sheep. And don't forget, your pastor is not just a shepherd, he's also a sheep. I also need the care. I also desire for the Lord to restore my soul, to minister to me. Romans 8:28 tells us, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And as we look at the aspect, he restoreth my soul. To restore our soul is a blessing. But also remember, at times, correction comes first. I tell you, I am so glad to know that when I read the Word of God, that I know that it helps me. I am so glad that I know when I'm getting sideways with the Lord, or if I've gotten away from the things of the Lord, that I can read the Word of God, and God uses that. I'm so glad that even sometimes the Lord uses other believers and even non-believers to get my attention about my walk and my testimony. That night that Michelle and I took our oldest daughter to see that film, and the marquee was changed when he came out, I had no idea. But about everyone that I worked with the following day, did not take them long to pull me aside and say, so, all this Bible thumping and preaching, inviting us to church and telling us about the Lord, so how can you do that and go watch that movie that you went to last night? And I thought to myself, what are you talking about? I had no idea. And then one of them pulled out the Military Times, opened it up and showed me the section of the theater, showed the time it was playing and said, right there. And then, of course, I noticed above, I knew where I'd went and what really happened. They changed the marquee. But here's what the Lord taught me. You've got their attention. They've heard what you said. Now they're watching your life. Now they're watching your life. So it's important that we are on guard and being careful the places, the things we go, the things we partake in, the things that we do, the people that we associate with, and even sometimes things that we put in place or in front of the Lord. Those things that distract us. You got to make a living. Don't misunderstand me. You got to make a living. You got to work. But when you're not providentially hindered, are there things that keep us away? When we're able to be here, are there things that pull us away that puts us in that category that I'm referring to of allowing that fleece to overgrow, to allow our bodies to be bloated or cast or fat, as I was using that word. Maybe I should have used cast to get us to where we're topsy-turvy, we're upside down, we're not balanced in our walk. Folks, I promise you, though you know or that you don't know, somebody is watching you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And if he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths I need to go, sometimes it's going to hurt. Sometimes it's going to be painful. Sometimes I'm going to have to be sheared. But he's also at times going to make sure that my soul is not only restored, but it remains stored, fed up, conditioned, and healthy if we'll just allow him to work in our life. Let's pray. Father, again, we want to come before thee and thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, and for your grace, for your loving kindness toward us, Lord, as we serve you. And now, Father, as we prepare to make a little transition tonight and have our financial report, Lord, I am so grateful for your goodness, for your blessings and the joy of service and fellowship, for the goodness and faithfulness and liberality of your people. And Father, and because of those things, we have a responsibility to be good stewards, not only of that which you've given us through our own income, through our jaws, but also that which we have given unto the Lord through the storehouse, Lord, that we also need to be good stewards. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless our time. May you be uplifted and glorified. Thank you for our treasurer, our bookkeeper, the deacons, and those that were involved in preparing these things, Father. I thank you for their efforts and for their work. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, gentlemen.